You're listening to the Higher Calling Podcast. I'm Pete Newsom, and this is your source for all things hiring, staffing, and recruiting. And I'm joined by Ricky Baez again today. Ricky, how are you?
I am doing great, Pete. Doing awesome.
It's Monday morning. It's a beautiful day, and it's almost Halloween. What could be better?
Well, I mean, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Oh, okay. There's a lot more coming.
A weekend, maybe.
A weekend, yeah, right. Yeah,
what could be better than Monday morning? How often do people say that? Not very, I guess.
I mean, not sarcastically, at least. I mean, people say, oh, it's Monday, but I'm actually enjoying this Monday morning. I am, and what better time to talk about recruiting, not just recruiting, Pete, but recruiting passively, something that you and I are both passionate about.
I certainly can't think of a better time. So why don't we get right into it then? And let's do it. Let's talk about passive recruiting techniques. That is a very different approach to recruiting, to filling a job, than recruiting active candidates. So let's just quickly define what is a passive candidate, or who is a passive candidate. And my way of looking at it, Ricky, is someone who doesn't know they're on the job market, right? They don't think they're a candidate. But I would tell you, and I have mentioned this to you before, I'm sure, I've been saying this for years as an analogy, that everyone's on the job market always. There is a job that you will leave your current position for. Now, I even am the owner of my business and the president of the company. However, and I'm going to change this, I used to say if Bill Belichick calls me and offers me Tom Brady's job, but he's not there anymore. So I'm going to go with something a little more current. If Steve Kerr calls and asks me to come play for the Golden State Warriors, I'm in. $25 million a year to play basketball for a living, I'm in. So I love recruiting, I love staffing, but even me, there's a job that I will leave for. So Steve, if you're listening, I'm that passive I'm that passive candidate. I don't think the call's coming though, Ricky.
Well, you know what? These days, Bill Belichick might call you because he's having a hard time.
Maybe, Bill. Right, maybe. But a passive candidate is very different than an active job seeker. They are someone who is content in their role, thriving in their role probably, and they really don't have their eye on the outside market. They're not sending applications. Their resume is probably not posted. So these are hidden gems in the job market.
Well, they are, because, you know, it's if somebody is actively looking for a job, this is somebody who obviously needs a job. But, you know, you find some really good information out of people who are not looking for a job, right? And if you're able to really tap into their world and understand what makes them tick, right, and figure out how you can bring them over to your side of the house, you get, in my opinion, you would get a much better candidate as if you looking for somebody, I don't want to say that are desperate, but they kind of have no other choice, right? So they kind of, I mean, I don't know, Pete, you tell me, right? If somebody is recruiting, it's actively looking for a job, what are the chances of them giving you a story that may not be true?
Well, there's a question that has to be asked and answered. That's what we know. If you're unemployed, there could be great reasons for it. Many, many great reasons, especially now. We know there's been so many layoffs at big companies, great talent who's not available right now. But as an interviewer, as a hiring manager, as a talent acquisition professional, or even a third-party staffing recruiter like us, we have to ask the question, where with a passive candidate, those things aren't really on the table. I don't have to worry about why you're not working, because you are working. So that is a factor for sure. And it's not perfect. There's no perfect in recruiting. It's just not that simple. We know that. So let's start with the positives, the reasons why you would want to recruit passive candidates. You just mentioned a big one. So let's start with there. You know that these people are, don't come with baggage. Maybe that's the easiest way to look at it. So it just takes that little bit off the table. I'll give you another one. It gives you access to a much wider candidate pool, because the world is your candidate pool at that point. You're not limited to people who are applying to jobs and posting their resume. You can go after anyone and everyone. So much broader candidate pool when you're recruiting passive candidates.
I could not agree more, because if normal recruiting, a day in a normal recruiter's life would be going onto some kind of a job board that they posted a position, and then they aggregate all the resumes from people who applied. If you're passively recruiting, you don't go through that. You have to find it. So what I imagine this to be is you as a recruiter, you are looking for a specific candidate. And so your job in passive recruiting is to go and find these qualities that you're looking for in somebody who's already working.
That's right.
And then you engage in conversation. And then in that conversation engagement, you figure out, ooh, they're not happy with this. This is something we can offer. And you have a much better conversation. So that's the part that I like, because you have way more resumes or way more talents to look at in comparison to what you get from, I don't know, LinkedIn or Indeed.
Well, it's a targeted approach versus dropping your fishing line in the deep ocean and just waiting for something to hit. You're going after that target, and maybe if you're spearfishing, which I've never done, but I imagine you go after what you see. And so when you're passively recruiting, you are targeting those candidates who have those skill sets, who work at the companies that you know are a potential good fit, the industry. So it's a much more directed search effort. And one of the things as a third-party recruiter that I find inherently valuable when it comes to passive candidates is I don't have to worry about as much competition with them. And for me, that means that they haven't sent their resume all over town. And then if you're an active job seeker, rightfully so, you are trying to get in front of as many opportunities as you can, very common. And I wouldn't discourage that, but that makes it difficult when you're recruiting to keep, it's an extra level or layer of things to consider. Okay, Ricky, if you're my candidate and I know you're working with everyone in town and your resume is 100 different places, as a third party recruiter, I have to wonder, have you already sent your resume over to my client? That's number one. With one click recruiting, you may not even remember that you did it. So that's a potential problem. Believe me, we've run into that. Every staffing company on the planet runs into that eventually, the dreaded double submittal. Are you working with other recruiters who may not tell you where your resume is going? That's a complete nightmare when that happens. So all of these things add complexity to an already complex situation, and that is finding the right candidate for the right position and making that match. So when you're recruiting passive candidates, I don't have to worry about that. I know that you're working with me and not everyone else in town.
And that makes sense, because actually how I see it, Pete, to be honest, is if somebody's actively looking for a job, you're right. They have their resumes in several different spots, right? So you're competing with several different other people, other entities, whereas passive recruiting, you're competing with one, where they currently are. That's the only competition you have.
That's right.
And if you're able to show how you can make their career or their job just that much better, you're ahead of the game, right? Especially if they're not looking.
Correct.
Right? Because if you're able to convince them with that one thing, I'm willing to guess that they're more apt to see the whole application and interview process through if they were courted, right? Versus the other way around, where they have options.
Well, maybe, right? But you're going to get turned down a lot when you recruit passive candidates, because you have to offer them something incrementally better than what they already have. Not slightly better. It needs to be a big step up, a new title, increased compensation, better hours, better future. Now, I could list a lot of different things there, because ultimately, I don't know what's important to you as a candidate. I don't know what your priorities are. Maybe it's simply compensation. And you say, Pete, if you could give me a 15% increase in income, I'll jump ship. But for some people, that's not even near the top of their priority list. Yeah. Maybe it's wanting a better work environment, or of course, in the days that we're in right now, the times that we're in, working from home versus being in the office. So that's a reason why someone may stop and consider one way or the other. By the way, there's a lot of folks working at home. I mean, this is maybe not the most popular statement or expected statement, but there's a lot of folks who've been sent home and wish they could still go to the office every day. So there's a lot of opportunity right now for candidates to be recruited for an improved situation, whatever that means to them. And we don't know that with passive candidates, right? When we see a job application come through, we know they're interested in the job as we've posted it. But when we're recruiting active candidates, we don't know. So there is going to be a high rejection rate for people saying, nope, not interested. But that's okay. It's part of the deal. Adds time. It's time consuming, Ricky, to do it this way.
It is, but you know what? You have to be smart with your time as a recruiter, right? So it's one of the things I was just thinking about, Pete, is that, you know, if I'm a recruiter and I'm always on LinkedIn, I'm always got my finger on the pulse of what's happening out there in the workforce today. One of the best things you can do is pay attention to the media and pay attention to what companies are bringing people back into the office and these employees are not having it. Ding, ding, ding. Go ahead and find out who they are on LinkedIn. If you are offering a flexible work arrangement, give them a call and say, hey, I saw this article. I see you work for this organization. We don't do that here. We don't bring you back into the office, right? So you have to keep your ear to the ground and have, I mean, I hate to say it this way, Pete, but I'm going to say just how you said about spearfishing. You got to get the right bait. You right. got to get the right bait and you have to be one step ahead of everybody else. So yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Well, and anyone who fishes knows. Now, I say this all. We're going down this path. This is apparently going to be fishing analogy day, and I'm a very passive fisherman. How's that? But I know enough to know that if I bring the wrong bait, it doesn't matter how great the bait is for the wrong kind of fish. It's not going to work. Or if I'm fishing in the wrong pond, so to speak, it's not going to work. And so you just have to know as best you can what is going to be appealing, what is going to be attractive to that candidate. But it is resource and time intensive. That's mm-hmm. the real drawback to passive recruiting. It's great when the right resumes just show up on your desk, and when I'm recruiting passive candidates, it's a grind. It's a commitment to a much deeper effort.
It is, because what you're doing, because it's again the opposite is. You got candidates who are looking for a job. That's not who you're targeting as a recruiter. You're targeting people who are not looking for a job. So you have, that's like trying to sell somebody a house who already have multiple houses. You have to let them know what's so special about this house.
That's right.
Yeah, you've got to have some convincing involved to let them know. So it is a different skill set, right? From a recruiter's perspective.
It's a different skill set. But I think every recruiter has potential to do it. I suspect most recruiters, not all recruiters have done it. I won't say most, not all recruiters have done it because it's harder. I mean, there's so many tools out there now that make passive candidates seemingly not as necessary. And a lot of it will depend on the search. If there's a big candidate pool for the job you're recruiting for, you don't necessarily have to do it. As you go higher up the chain of both specialty and it going up through management and executive ranks where there's fewer qualified candidates, that's where it becomes more prevalent and necessary. Mm-hmm. So depending on the type of positions you recruit for, you could go through your entire recruiting career potentially not recruit passive candidates if you're doing high mm-hmm. volume, big candidate pool positions. But as you get into more niche roles with specialized skill sets and experience that has to come along with the candidate, it becomes more of a necessity. So let's talk about some of the techniques you can use. And we have to start with LinkedIn today. It is the place where people live. I like to think of LinkedIn as a site where people can put their resume without having to defend posting their resume publicly, because it's not really seen like as a that. Resume, but boy, it sure does look like a resume, doesn't it?
It does. I like that. Yeah. No, you know what? It is. It is, especially on LinkedIn. And you know what? And I'm just going to throw this out here. People are going to hate this, but you know, I get hit on LinkedIn quite a bit. And you know what? I'm really popular. Want to know how I know I'm popular, Pete? Because a lot of the LinkedIn messages that I get are people telling me that somehow the algorithm has connected us and it was divine intervention. Right?
It's fate. And it's just you're meant to be connected.
I'm meant to be connected to the 500 people who tell me that every week. No, but you're right. You know, LinkedIn is the place for you to it's like a supermarket for a recruiter. Right? It's like a supermarket. You go in and down each aisle, you go down the IT aisle. Oh, look, there's an IT person here. Then you go down the HR aisle, all these different aisles, right? And you have your picking. Some things are in clearance, right? And some things are out of your price range, right? So you have to decide what you're looking for.
Ricky, there's a blog article there for you to write. You need to make note of that. I think you need to make, let that analogy run all the way through. I'll do a fishing one and you do a shopping.
I'll do the clearance. Save a lot.
But with LinkedIn, it's so different than it was in the not too distant past. I remember when Monster was the 800-pound gorilla in the space, and Career Builder was candidates. There was a feature where candidates would post their resume privately because they didn't want their employer to know they were looking for a job. Well, now I would tell you again, because I'm a big fan of passive recruiting. I do believe what I said earlier, that everyone's a candidate, whether they realize it or not, for the right job, that you don't have to do that anymore. You're no more hiding. So everyone's out there, and LinkedIn is up to about 950 million users. And as a study I saw not too long ago, a report said that there were at any given time 60+ million active job seekers. Well, that leaves almost 900 million other candidates to recruit from. So if you limit your search only to the active candidates, you're missing the majority of possible candidates out there for you.
Actually, Pete, I think the opposite is true as well, because I think it's what you said resonated with me. You said that, you know, back in the day, right, people used to put, I think it was a Monster, used to put their resumes privately because they didn't want their superiors to see it. Now it's such an expected thing to do that I sometimes question somebody who's been in the field for 20 years and you don't have a LinkedIn profile. That's the odd thing now, right? To me, specifically, if you don't have a LinkedIn profile, especially if you're in HR, I have huge questions as to what have you been doing in the past 20 years. So for everybody out there listening, please, you got to have a LinkedIn profile that it's updated and it shows who you are as a professional. It should personalize your professional skill set. That's what it should do.
Well, it should. And as a job, as a professional, it's in your interest to have recruiters contact you for these types of searches. You never know what could show up on your doorstep and be that great opportunity. So even if you consider yourself a passive candidate, or if you consider yourself someone who's not on the job market, you wouldn't consider yourself a passive candidate, the recruiter would, but you should have your LinkedIn profile updated. And I believe colleges now, and I don't think it's at the high school level yet, we'll have classes on putting up your LinkedIn profile. Yeah, so right from the start, it's become part of the professional culture for knowledge workers in particular, not as much for blue collar workers. We know that because they're not in front of the computer all day. So if you're in a labor intensive job, LinkedIn's not as prevalent. So that is not the only place to go find passive job seekers for sure, or passive candidates. You can join industry associations, trade groups. That's a great place to do it. And savvy recruiters do that all the time because they want to be where the people are who they would potentially recruit.
See, I'm going to jump on your bandwagon of fishing analogies, right? If you're looking for a bass, if you're looking for a fish that's in a lake of fresh water, you're not going to go fishing for that in the ocean. Right. So you have to know where you are. So if you have an open IT position, right, it'll be a great idea to go find where these IT talent live play, which is where in these networking events. Right. And you start handing out your gift card. That would help. You start handing out your business card and you start making these connections. But the most important thing you can do as a recruiter, Pete, especially on LinkedIn, is to consistently post relevant topics, produce relevant content in those business areas, in those business groups, especially on LinkedIn, so you can show what your company is about. So you can show other people maybe who didn't know what your company was about. The more you show what your organization is about, what kind of core values they have, that will attract the right candidate for you. And it'll make it easier for you for passive recruiting, right? Because maybe somebody is not looking and they see that podcast you put or that article you put and it resonated with them. They like it. You're like, oh man, you look them up. And you're like, this person got the skills that I need, right?
Well, there's a big credibility factor in that. And so we're talking to recruiters, and recruiters are this is a general statement, one of two groups: corporate recruiters who may or may not have a big recognizable brand behind them. So if you're recruiting from Google, everyone's going to know who Google is when you make that call, if that's where you're recruiting from. If you're recruiting from Joe's Bait Shack, right, to use our fishing analogy, you may have to work a little harder to establish who you are. But if they look at your content that you've created, they look at your website and they see, wow, even though I don't know this company or this brand, that I see them as credible because they've laid the foundation through the content they've created. So I'm a big proponent of that, big fan of what you just described. And we certainly try to do that. And it works. Yeah. It's effective. It's very rewarding for me when I hear someone say, I've never worked with your company, but I've seen your content. I see what you produce, because that makes that initial call so much easier than it would be when they say, who are you? I don't know who you are. I'm skeptical of engaging with you. Because again, when I'm calling you as a passive candidate, you may be hearing about me for the first time. So how you react to that when you look it up, we all do it, right? I got a strange call. Look them up. Does this look credible? We know who does and doesn't look credible quickly through an internet search. So lay that foundation.
And Pete, and the best way I can describe it as far as the authenticity of it, just to give you a quick example, you know that I'm really heavily involved in the Disrupt HR events here in Central Florida and in different parts of Florida. And when people, I look for speakers, and when people want to speak, they ask me, what should I talk about? And I'm like, I can't tell you that. You have to talk about something you're passionate about. And here's what happens when you do that. If you talk about something you're passionate about, you're going to resonate with somebody. And after your speech, somebody's going to come up to you and they're going to have a conversation, because their first interaction with you was an emotional one. You said something that really rung a bell in their head. Putting that back to recruiting, that's what you need to do. You need to be involved in these spaces, because eventually you're going to resonate with somebody for the right reasons, and then you're going to make that connection, right? You said earlier that if you do passive recruiting, you have to understand you're going to get a lot of rejections before you get that one yes. But dang it, that one yes is going to be one that's going to last with you for a long time, because all the vetting was already done, and in a much timely fashion. You don't have to do it in like a day. You've been doing it for weeks. Correct. And you vetted out all those people who would not make it into your organization. So yeah, I'm with this 100%.
So there's multiple outlets to do it, right? Maybe you do it in person with group and association meetings like you do with Disrupt HR, and that's how you build your brand and reputation and expand your network. There's online communities, there's social media posts. So it's not a one size fits all. Yeah. You have to figure out what's practical for you to do, what you're comfortable doing. We're talking right now on a podcast. We're sharing our audio for to be downloaded and listened to. We're making video clips. Not everyone wants to do that. That's okay. Not everyone needs to. Find your outlet that combines two things: your comfort level. I mean, I'll caveat that to say maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone a little bit to start, because
that's a good point.
Not everyone naturally wants to put themselves out there, but also where the people are who you're trying to connect with. And that's what matters the most. It's not about what you want to do. It's about where they are and how to find them. Ricky, I want the fish to bite, but I have to give them what they want, right? Not just because I decide I'm catching fish today.
That's right. You know, if you put a taco at the end of that reel, chances are you're not gonna catch any fish.
It's probably a joke.
You might catch me, because I love tacos.
Yeah, you're gonna catch someone. You're gonna catch
So for everybody listening out there, y'all know my weakness is tacos.
Now you mentioned something else that I want to latch on to. It was a mistake, but it's relevant. You said you hand them your business card. Well, and there's opportunity to reward people in different ways. Get your employees to out there by having them hand out business cards where they go. And the best way to do that is through an employee referral program that you'll compensate your employees for. You have potential to have an army of recruiters out everywhere in the world, at restaurants, where they go on weekends, parties, family gatherings, and you want people looking for those great candidates who would be a potential good fit for your company. So reward your employees for doing that. and arm them with the tools that they know how to identify candidates or what you're looking for and then what to do about it. That's equally important.
Let me tell you how awesome that works, right? Because I'm doing my own thing now. I've got clients from an HR perspective. And what I put out there a couple of years ago, I told people on LinkedIn, as a matter of fact, with all of my contacts, hey, I'm looking for clients. If you bring some time, here's what I'm looking for. Here's what I can help with. If you're able to bring somebody to me that I ink a contract with, I'm going to give you 5% of that.
Sure. Right? That's why not? Motivating.
Right. My last three clients were just like that. Perfect. Just like that. Somebody who made the introduction, we ink paper, and next thing you know, they get 5% in perpetuity. So it works.
Well, you're leveraging your network in a creative way. And if the more eyes and ears you have working on your behalf in this recruiting effort, the better. Whether it's business development like you're doing or recruiting candidates. Because again, these candidates are hidden all over the place. They're not waving their hand saying, hey, come recruit me. You have to go find them. And so the more, again, I don't know a better way to put it, eyes and ears you have looking for them, the better off you're going to be.
That's right. And Pete, and the best way you can do that, yes, it is LinkedIn, but there's other platforms out there too, right? There's YouTube, there's Twitter, there's Facebook. You have to use your social media from a recruiter's perspective to tell your company's story. Folks, do not underestimate the power of storytelling. People resonate with that, right? If you have a candidate that's not looking or somebody who's not looking, you really want to get their attention, right? Tell them the company story, right? See how authentic it is, right? You're not going to resonate with everyone, but you're going to resonate with the right people, right? If you're able to pull somebody away from their current job, just based on your company story and the core values, you're going to have somebody who's going to stick around versus somebody who's looking for a job and they're willing to kind of, I guess, mend or bend their I don't want to say morals, right? But what they're looking for just because they need a job right then and there. I think the passive recruiting route, although it takes longer, is more time consuming and you get more rejections. The opposite side of that is, you get somebody who's going to stick around for a long time and they're there for the right reason.
There's a concern, rightfully so, with hiring managers when someone is desperate. And maybe that's a strong word, but someone is on the market, on the clock to find a job. They're very, very eager and they are, let's say, overqualified on paper for the position that they're applying to. Maybe they've made significantly more money in previous roles, but they're willing to take a pay cut. Maybe their span of control or responsibilities or job titles were significantly bigger than the role that they're applying for. Mm-hmm. Managers will be skeptical of that. They just will. And it's, trust me, there's a few words worse as a third-party recruiter that I hear than the candidate's overqualified. Because my response to all that initially is, what do you mean? They're too good for the job?
Well, what does that mean? Exactly. Job?
But we know that it means something different. It means that the person who's doing the hiring is skeptical of the candidate's willingness to stay for the long term. Yeah. That's really what it comes down to. So again, a passive candidate kind of takes that consideration off the table where you're going after them and can... I don't want to say convince, because I don't say think anyone should try to talk anyone to taking a job ever. I don't think that's doing it the right way. But present an opportunity that they didn't know they were interested in, right? And they see it and say, wow, that's reason for me to leave. Again, I'm going to run to something, not away from something. Big difference. Big difference.
Isn't that the definition of convincing, though?
No, convincing, I think, has more, and I guess persuading. I don't want to persuade you. I don't want to talk you into something. I want to lay the facts out and make sure that it's a good match. And if I'm doing it right as a recruiter, if I contact you, Ricky, I will say what is interesting. Now, it's a little different, right? You're a passive candidate. So I have to lay out the opportunity for you for sure. I don't want to exaggerate it. I don't want to only highlight the good parts as a recruiter. And so, trust me, if a good recruiter can do all of those things to convince someone, but I don't want to convince. I want you to be convinced on your own based on your understanding of the real situation.
That's a good point, because something you said in my years in knowing you that resonate with me is that you don't even for somebody who's not past, who's actively looking, right? Even if somebody who's actively looking, you I don't want to see you try to talk them. Well, yeah, you do try to talk them out of it.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. You try to talk them out of it. You don't use that same rationale for somebody who's past it, right? I mean, you don't talk them out of it. There's nothing to talk them out of.
Well, you want to lay out the reality. That's what it is to me. I want to, because as a recruiter, I'm not incented to get you to be interested in the job, take an interview, even accept the job. I want it to end well. I want you to be happy in that job, and I want my client to be happy with you. And the only way to do that, in my opinion, is to get all the bad stuff on the table. It, just like any relationship, if someone's going to get married, they should see the worst of the person they're going to marry, right?
Let me tell you about Spain. It's an old joke when I was in the Marine Corps.
So that's maybe probably something for off the camera, but
off the camera.
But I do. I want to see what was that meme that was going around a year or two ago. If you love me at my worst, or if you don't love me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
At my best, yeah.
So always put that bad stuff on the table, but don't convince. I don't think that's how it should go. So just a couple other more things before we wrap up. This is time intensive and resource intensive. Mm-hmm. We alluded to that earlier. You might need, if you're a corporate hiring manager or a talent acquisition team, you might need to engage a third-party recruiter for this. Because here's the difference. There's a number of differences, but this is a big one. Third-party staffing companies and recruiting firms, all they do is recruit. Mm-hmm. That's it. It is blinders on. I'm on a mission to find the candidate. So I have lots of time to dedicate to that effort. When I'm in corporate, I have lots of other responsibilities. I have to be that good corporate citizen. I have meetings to go to. I have other things that I get pulled into. I'm typically part of an HR department, and all those considerations that go along with being in HR take time away from straight recruiting. The other thing that I've noticed, now there's exceptions to every rule, Ricky, but I think you'd agree, most TA folks end up having a whole lot of positions they're recruiting for relative to a third-party recruiter who's usually more laser-focused on a limited number of positions. So I think that ability to passively recruit for most corporate recruiters just isn't practical.
It's not. In my thing with that is, it's you again, you have to find the right strategy for what your goal is, right? And obviously the strategy for active recruiting is not necessarily going to work with your strategy for passive recruiting. But Pete, one thing that I really want to focus on that I love about a passive recruiting is you have to engage in the people you've worked with before and nothing happened with it. Right. So let's say we're in January 2023, right? And I was talking to two or three candidates. That's a recruiter talking to two or three candidates, trying to place them in a job, and that didn't work, right? So now, 10 months later, actually 11 months later, because right now we're in November, right? And now we have this another open position. Who says you cannot go back and contact those previous candidates? Correct. You have an established connection. You know who they are. They know who you are. The trust doesn't have to be reestablished, especially if you as a recruiter have been constantly posting stuff out on LinkedIn where you see them, they see you on a regular basis. It'll be a no-brainer for them to reach out. Hey, Ricky, how's it going? Yeah, I'm doing great at this job. And that's when you should start your charm and you start your pulling back in that reel and see if anything bites.
I was wondering what you were doing there. I thought you were straightening your tie for a second there, Ricky.
I was trying to
add a bolo on.
I live
something.
In Florida. I've been fishing twice. Well, right? And I'm from Puerto Rico.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I know that you're such a big believer in building a pipeline that it would be remiss to not mention that. And so I'm glad you did. And that if you go through a recruiting effort for one opening, there's a whole, probably a lot of qualified candidates attractive candidates that didn't get the job. So of course you want to go back to them. That's a great, I mean, such an important and powerful step in the recruiting process. It's probably overlooked a lot.
It is. It is because I look at recruiters and this is going to come off wrong. So hear me out. Hear me out.
Oh, so are you going to offend me? Am I prepared to be offended?
So I look at recruiters like car dealers, like a car dealer. I will not buy a car from a car dealer that I don't trust. I would not buy a car from the person that I don't trust. Even if this is going to cost me $5,000 more than another dealership, I have to trust that person. So me as a candidate, I have to trust that recruiter, especially if I'm working right now and you're showing me all these other opportunities somewhere else. If I'm going to take those opportunities seriously, I have to trust you for me to give you my time. So what does that mean for a recruiter? You have to invest a time every week consistently to build that trust, to build your brand out on LinkedIn and social media. That way, when you start tapping on shoulders, start having those conversations, they kind of know who you are, right? And they're just trying to figure out who you are. And the more easier it is for them to get into your trusting graces, the easier it's going to be to place that person in case they don't have the happiness where they currently are.
Well,
Well, I was going to say, so if you do that as a recruiter, it does two things, right? Passively, it fills the position you're currently looking for right now. But also, even the people who don't work out then, you keep in contact with them because you never know if you're going to need that skill set next year. So just because the position is filled, it doesn't mean you should stop passively recruiting.
Well,
that still needs to continue.
And you make a great point that not all recruiters, the people have are sometimes skeptical of working with a recruiter. They don't trust them. Just like when they're buying a car, they have a lot of people skeptical of a car salesperson, and they probably have good reason to be based on previous experiences. But in many cases, it's just that perception that has to be overcome. And that's incumbent upon the recruiter. You have to give that candidate a reason to trust you. Don't assume that you're going to be granted that trust going in. Yep. You have to earn it, but you don't have to earn it. And this is the point that I think we've made. It hopefully has resonated. You can lay the foundation for building that trust prior to engaging with anyone individually. So be consistent, earn a reputation over time.
Yes.
And it'll be built over days, weeks, months, years. Put your content out there online and have a brand that is established for that is synonymous with trust. And that will make a huge difference in the recruiting process. So great point to bring up. And I think that's probably a great way to wrap it up.
I think so. Yeah. I think we've, I'm not going to say
have
it.
We done it?
Have I'm we not going to say it.
Have we beaten the horse, Ricky?
Ah,
I think we have. We have to do it. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
you're right.
This has been fun as always. Thank you so much. A fun Monday way to start. Great talking to you as always, Ricky. And thank you for listening. We will be back very soon.
Henry's hungry. Have a good one. All right. Bye.